The opinions expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and not necessarily those of Salem Communications, staff, management, or advertisers.
Activist Radio is on the air.
You have tuned in to the Mark Harrington Show, sponsored by Created Equal.
Mark is training a new generation of leaders
to take on the culture of death and win. All right.
If you don't like abortion, don't have one.
The only thing that can be said to be objective truth is that there is no objective truth.
It does come out in one piece. It comes out in one piece.
I would argue that we certainly are not all created equal.
And now, here's Mark.
Would Jesus use a graphic image to make his point? Would he? Would Jesus use a bloody image, a bloody picture, to make his point? Well, I think you know what I'm talking about, don't you? You're listening to the Mark Harrington Show. You can go to our website at createdequal.org and click on the radio icon and listen to us streaming, or pick us up on iTunes, or listen, of course, every Saturday here on WRFD over the air at 1:30 p.m. Eastern Time. The question I have, would Jesus use a graphic image to make his point? Well, the answer is, he already did. If you look at Luke chapter 22, Jesus on the cross became a bloody image, raised up for all to see in the busiest place in Jerusalem at the busiest time of the day on the busiest day of the week. And might I say that I'm sure families were around, including children. But it was important enough for Jesus to become a bloody image to deal with the issue of human sin. I'd say it's kind of extreme, in fact. He went to extreme measures to make his point. Although I don't believe it's completely analogous to what we do here at Created Equal by using abortion victim photos or bloody images, graphic images, however you want to term it, to make our point, I think there is some correlation, and that is when you have the wholesale slaughter of 1 million preborn children every year, one every 20 seconds, 2,900 every day, dismembered, decapitated, and disemboweled children in our country, then I'd say that that type of method is completely appropriate. And that's what we do. And this couple weeks ago, we were at Ohio State University on the Oval. And we've been up in our game. And that is that as the country continues to become more callous towards issues like abortion, injustice generally, it takes a strong message to reach them increasingly. And that's why now we are deploying Jumbotron video screens, large TVs, LEDs, playing abortions in progress. You might think, man, you are out of your mind. What are you doing? Well, I ask you this. If you were a professor, a teacher, teaching about Germany in the 1930s and 40s, would you show imagery of the Holocaust? If you wanted to teach about American slavery, would you show lynchings of black people? Just last week, CBS aired a documentary of what's going on in Syria with the Assad regime gassing people, children. And they aired it, and they made the claim that people needed to see what was going on. It's funny, we accept that, we play that on television. And you know why we do that? Because Americans aren't gassing Syrians, but we are killing children. And therefore, the media, for the most part, is helping to cover it up. Because there are so many people in America, women and men, parents, who have killed their children. They're complicit. And when they're complicit, they're going to complain because they're in denial about what they've done. And if they show this on television, you're going to have hundreds and thousands of post-abortive folks out there who are going to make a ruckus about showing what they did. And that's the only reason why. You can air a CBS documentary showing the gassing of Syrian children, but you can't show the dismemberment of American children on television. So in a sense, we've been forced to do this because the mainstream media will not do its job. Now, what I'd like to do is I'm going to play a clip for you, and this is from the WBNS TV, 10 TV here in Columbus, which is the CBS affiliate, who aired a piece on our activities at the Ohio State Oval a couple of weeks ago. Go.
New tonight, a graphic tactic in an effort to bring attention to the abortion debate. The group, Created Equal, will show video of an actual abortion procedure on a jumbotron. 10 TV's Josh Poland is live at Ohio State, where the video will play tomorrow.
Well, Kristen, Created Equal plans to show that video on a jumbotron they'll be assembling on the Oval tomorrow. The group made its first college visit with the large high-definition screen in Florida last month. Now it's OSU's turn, and much like the Ohio State sign behind me, students won't be able to miss it. The Oval on OSU's campus is a popular spot for students to study, kick a ball, or just relax. But on Tuesday, students walking through the Oval will see graphic video of an abortion.
We believe that a picture's worth a thousand words, but a video is worth a million words.
Mark Harrington's Created Equal is behind the video. He says using signs at demonstrations can only do so much to represent the reality of abortion.
We believe it's time to up our game. It's time for the American people to actually see an abortion in progress.
I showed Created Equal's video to students here on the OSU campus. They all said they were shocked by it, but they had differing opinions as to whether it's appropriate.
So that's what's going to be on the Oval tomorrow. What's your initial reaction when you see that?
That disturbs me. Like, it makes me, like, uncomfortable.
I'm pro-life, personally. But I don't believe that's the right kind of tactic.
I think it's good to see that, so you know what you're doing to yourself and to the baby that's inside of you.
I didn't think you could even get an abortion like that late in the process, like with the pictures that they're showing.
Harrington says he wants the video to create debate.
My body, my choice!
My body, my choice!
He says this is how University of Florida students protested his display last month. Harrington expects a similar scene at Ohio State.
The entire campus will be discussing this video and what it portrays tomorrow and for days or weeks to come.
Well, there you go. And, you know, the question I have is this. Do you think I'm nuts? Or am I just doing what's necessary to draw attention to the greatest crime against humanity in human history? And is the extreme measures that we're taking equal to the extreme measures of abortion? A lot of people ask me, does it work, Mark? Does it work? Showing these photos and now video, does it work? Well, you know what? Yes. And we have anecdotal evidence and people coming up all the time who have said, I never knew what it looked like. Now I do. And I agree with you. That happens. But I will submit to you, if we never change another heart, we never change another mind, if our culture becomes so calloused that they can't even respond to an abortion being performed on video in progress in front of them, we still have an obligation to show it. Because the Bible says in Ephesians 5:11 that we should not participate in the evil deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. A biblical duty to expose evil. And folks, this is the most commonly performed medical procedure in America, yet virtually no one knows what it looks like. Virtually no one. Now, that's changing because of what we're doing, and my hope is that it will change the culture. But hey, you know, the jury's out. Is it too late for America? Have we lost it? so badly that there's no coming back to sanity. A couple of things happened while we were on the campuses lately. Tom Short, my good friend here, an evangelist, an itinerant ministry that travels campuses across America. He's been on my program, was with us nearby at the University of Florida. And he said because of the irate and extreme rudeness and vulgarity displayed by the pro-abortion protesters that day at UF, that it contributed to at least two young ladies turning to the Lord. Because they saw the difference between Christ followers and how we treated people and how the pro-abortion folks did. They were vulgar, rude, mean. Two people came to Christ that day because of the way we treated students. We also had three babies saved on our trip to Florida. So it does work. It does work. You had a woman there say that she's personally pro-life, but she doesn't like the tactic. You know, I don't like the tactic either. The question is, do I have a moral responsibility before God to expose evil? And let me speak to the pastors and you out there today. What are you doing? What are you doing as the greatest holocaust that man has ever seen is transpiring before your eyes? What are you doing about it? And when you meet the Lord and he asks you, what did you do to protect my preborn image bearers? Will you say, well, I was busy preaching sermons, growing my church, adding to my building, being nice and friendly and kind to people? Or were you out there on the front lines helping and supporting people like us at Created Equal? We need you. We need you, pastors. We need all the Christians, all those who believe in the sanctity of human life, to support us. Two ways you can do that. Invite me to your church. And I know you're thinking, oh my gosh, this guy will blow the lid off my church. No. Very winsome, very professional, and I work hand in glove with pastors that want to make a difference. Contact us. Go to createdequal.org. Send us an email. Say, yeah, we'd like Mark to come and train our people. We'd like Mark and his team to come and teach our young people and our church about how to defend preborn children. Go to our website at createdequal.org. The other way is to help us financially. We've got a lot of needs coming up. We have nine interns. Nine! Count them. Nine young people spending the summer with us to be trained up to be salt and light to this generation. Nine interns. We have our justice ride, which is where we put people on a bus, young people. And we take them to places like Washington, D.C. and train them. That'll be from July 12 through 18. You want to be part of that? Send your young person with us. They'll never be the same. Support us by going to P.O. Box. So sending a check to P.O. Box 360502. That's 360502, Columbus, Ohio 43236. Or go to our website at createdequal.org and click on the donate link. We need your support. Once again, P.O. Box 360502. Help us out in prayer and financial support. We need you. Stick around. On the other side, we've got Bill Jack from Worldview Academy talking about this controversy of the religious freedom restoration laws. Stick around.
What do other pro-life leaders think of Mark Harrington and Created Equal? Listen to Scott Klusendorf of Life Training Institute.
Created Equal is about changing this culture, and that's what we have to do if we are going to win this fight. And Mark and Seth and the others on the team of Created Equal are doing just that. And I am happy to endorse their work. Glad to call them fellow companions in this fight for the life of the unborn. And I certainly hope you will support and work with them as they work on reforming this culture so that it has an appreciation for human life.
Mark Harrington is a missionary and free speech advocate, and Mark has been on the front line of the debate over abortion for over 20 years. Mark needs your prayers and financial support. Please support Mark and Created Equal by going to createdequal.net or send a check to Created Equal, Post Office Box 360502, Columbus, Ohio 43230. Your gifts are tax deductible.
The scripture says in Galatians 5, verse 1, that it's for freedom's sake that Christ set us free, and we're going to be talking about that today. Freedom. Does freedom matter? Does religious liberty matter? Do conscious rights matter? My guest by phone is Bill Jack, and he's a founder of Worldview Academy, one of my favorite organizations and ministries that raises up the next generation of leaders to reach the culture with the gospel. And they put on summer camps across America. They have a north, south, and an east camp this summer, and we're going to talk about that a little bit. But it's my privilege to have Bill Jack. Bill, how you doing?
Better than I deserve, as the saying goes, Mark. It's great to be with you.
Good to be with you, Bill. And our listeners might hearken back. I don't know. It's been several months ago when we brought you on the program over this whole right to cake, I call it. It's the right to cake.
Yeah, you know, some people have called it the cakewalk, and they've got all kinds of names.
The great cake debate. I mean, we don't have the right to life. I mean, the unborn don't have the right to life, but somehow we figured out the right to cake.
Right.
We're going to be talking about that because you're right in the middle of it. I don't need to give our listeners a whole lot of background, but as we know, a couple of weeks ago in the state of Indiana, they passed a RFRA law. That's the Religious Freedom Restoration Act, and all heck broke loose. The homosexual activists just went bonkers, and Apple and Starbucks and all the rest said that this is discrimination and all of that. A while back, you were involved in something. Let's bring our listeners up to speed. There was a big thing in Arizona, I think it was. Maybe you can clarify. A while back, where I think a Christian baker refused to bake a wedding cake for a homosexual couple. Take us from there.
Actually, what's happened is that that's been in several states, including New Mexico, where a photographer refused to film a same-sex wedding. Oregon, a baker, florist in Washington. Here in Colorado, it was a baker who refused to bake a cake for a same-sex couple. Actually, they didn't refuse to serve the same-sex couple. The baker did not want to participate in an event that would violate his conscience. He said, I will sell you anything in the store. I just can't bake you a wedding cake because that's an iconic symbol of marriage. As a result, the same-sex couple here in the state of Colorado applied the Colorado Anti-Discrimination Act, CADA, and filed a complaint with the Colorado Civil Rights Division. They won. The baker is now basically barred from baking a wedding cake, any wedding cake, unless he agrees to bake wedding cakes for and decorate wedding cakes for same-sex couples. So he has been denied his First Amendment liberties of artistic expression and is relegated now. This was his passion. This is his art. He's relegated now to making a living by selling cookies and brownies and cannot really exercise his artistic expression. So in response to that, what I did is I went to several bakeries that advertised on the LGBT-friendly sites, and I asked for two cakes, both in the shape of an open Bible. On one cake, I requested on one page, God hates sin, Psalm 45:7, on the facing page, homosexuality is a detestable sin, Leviticus 18:22. On the accompanying cake, I requested on one page, God loves sinners, and on the facing page, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us, Romans 5:8. When the bakers refused to bake my cake because they said the words were hateful or discriminatory, I filed a complaint with the Colorado Civil Rights Division, and claiming that I was discriminated against based on the basis of my creed, Christianity. Because I wanted to find out if this law was going to be applied equitably and not just against those who are Christians in the business community. And just recently, there was a ruling by the director of the Department of Regulatory Agencies who said these bakeries did not discriminate by refusing to bake my cakes and decorate my cakes. In fact, the Denver Post on Saturday of last week, which was the day before the most holy day on the church calendar, the day before Resurrection Sunday, the Denver Post, in reporting the ruling, said that what I wanted on the cakes were, quote, gay slurs and hateful words, end quote. Now, what did I want on the cakes?
Scripture.
What I wanted on the cakes was the gospel. God hates sin. God loves sinners. Mm-hmm. That's the message of Easter.
Mm-hmm.
And so suddenly the Bible is now considered to be an immoral, illegal book in the public arena that needs to be censored.
Unbelievable. That's... My guest is Bill Jack. You can go to Worldview Academy's website at worldviewacademy.org. And again,
that's
they,
worldview.org.
I'm sorry, worldview.org. Bill Jack's my guest, and you probably know Bill. He travels the country speaking to young people during the summer at the summer camps. And we've got one here coming up in Cedarville, Ohio, June 28th through July 3rd. If you want to get your young person equipped to stand in the public square and defend the faith, this is there's no better program than Worldview Academy. Cedarville, June 28th through July 3. I wholeheartedly recommend it. And you can go to worldview.org. I'm sure they're filling up quick, so get on it if you would. Parents, if you're listening, this is where you want to send your young person to equip them to be ready for what might be ahead of them on college campuses and so forth. So, Bill, where do we stand here with this? Let me just ask you this. Do you think it's... do you think bakers generally or business people should be able to refuse any kind of business based on their religious beliefs?
I believe the bakers that I approached should have the liberty to deny me service.
Okay.
I think they I stand with their right to do so.
Right.
Unfortunately, under the current state statute, if it were applied equitably, they would be forced to violate their conscience and be forced to put on a cake what they find objectionable. And that's what's happened to Jack Phillips of Masterpiece Cake Shop when he was forced to participate in an event that he found violated his conscience. Why should that not be applied to all bakers? I believe these bakers should have the right to deny me service, but I believe in liberty for all, not liberty for some, because if we don't have liberty for all, we have liberty for none. I wanted to shine the light of truth on this particular statute to find out if it was going to be applied equitably. And what I've discovered is that it is being applied hypocritically.
Yeah.
This is Ephesians 5:11. Do not participate in deeds of evil, but rather expose them. So I have filed an appeal of the director's decision, and that appeal I have to file by April 20th, and then the commission, Colorado Civil Rights Commission, has 90 days to respond.
My guest is Bill Jack. Go to worldview.org and sign one of your young people up for the Cedarville Worldview Academy camp that's down here about an hour and a half from Columbus, June 28th through July 3rd. Bill, we got about a minute and a half. I want to ask you this, and this comes up in my debates with others. Is it really being complicit in the sin of homosexual marriage or homosexuality to bake a cake for a wedding? I mean, can't we just do that and say, listen, it's not a big deal.
Yeah, I've had Christians say, well, Jesus associated with sinners,
right,
he associated with prostitutes,
exactly,
and others. Wouldn't he bake the cake? And my
right
response is this: Jesus wasn't a baker, but he was. He was a carpenter. Would he build a wedding bed for a same-sex couple?
Good
Jesus
point.
Jesus wasn't a baker, but he was a rabbi. Would he perform the wedding ceremony for a same-sex couple?
That's excellent.
The question is truth and grace. Truth and grace. We stand for truth and grace. There needs to be a hand of restraint legislatively against wickedness and evil. We should not endorse in our culture wicked activity such as same-sex marriage. But we need, as a church, to offer a hand of hope to those who are trapped in this sin by proclaiming grace to them. So it is truth and grace. It is a hand of restraint and a hand of hope that needs to be held out. Christians seem to fall on one or the other, either truth or grace, but we need to be exhibiting both. So that's my answer to
good.
That.
That's a good one. Bill Jack's been my guest. Worldview Academy is the organization. Go to worldview.org, and if you like what you're hearing, Bill is one of those warriors. He's a dragon slayer. He's a sheepdog. He's out there trying to protect the flock and prepare young people for what we are going to be encountering, what they're going to be encountering
in an increasingly hostile environment all across America, and we've got to be doing that. Worldview.org can go to the Cedarville camps June 28th through July 3rd. Sign your kids up. See you next time. God bless you. God bless America. And remember, America, to bless God.
You've been listening to Mark Harrington, your radio activist, sponsored by Created Equal. For more information on how to become a witness against the evil plague in America, call Created Equal at 614-269-7808, 614-269-7808, or go online to createdequal.net, createdequal.net. Be sure to tune to The Mark Harrington Show next time for your marching orders in the culture war.